Tom Keel, you know him well, Northport Village trustee, also CEO of Kingsbridge Strategies. It's a government relations and public affairs firm, and we are always glad to speak with the great Keel. No better to break it all down. Sir, great to have you on a Friday morning.
Jay, always a privilege, and thank you. I do more homework for you now than I did when I was in college, you know, but it's always exciting to talk with you because you're so knowledgeable about this stuff. You really are. You should run for office. You're up on this more than most people. But it was a great night last night, I think, for America. We all finally got to see a great contrast in the two candidates. And, you know, before we get going, I was listening to your show about an hour ago, and I just wanted to say a 30-second thing about Dr. William Spencer. He's my legislator. I've known him for 20-plus years. My wife was an operating room nurse long before I got in politics, long before he did. She used to come home singing his praises. He has a lot of political capital, a word you and I use quite often, in the piggy bank. People over here really have him in respect. So I think we need to pray for the man and his family, and that's all. I think it's sad what happened, but there's more to the story, and I think we just need to keep him in our prayer. So that's it.
Tom, well said. And let me say this, because I've been thinking about this last couple of days. We've had Doc Spencer on the show many a time.
Yeah.
These types of things, let's let this thing play out, please.
Absolutely.
Let's get into the courts. Let's go through the rigmarole of trying to find out from a legal sense, and then we make our conclusions. But, you know, it doesn't look good now. You know,
it doesn't.
I mean, the optic is out there, but let's let justice have its day as far as Spencer is concerned.
Yeah.
Him and his family's sake. Let's leave it at that.
The debate last night, I think, was a good contrast. Good time for American people to see the contrast in styles and thinking of these two men. I think it was we finally had a debate. I mean, it was the moderator, I think she tried to assert herself a little too hard, but I think she had to show that she had a little muscle so these boys didn't get out of control. Two big alpha men, and I think she did as good a job as anybody could have done. She interrupted the president a lot more frequently than she interrupted Biden, but so be it. I think, Kristen Welker will go down as having a very admirable job for the American people and the Presidential Debate Commission. It was stunning. Well, again, just before I came on, you were talking to Ray Perini, who I know about the Mangano thing, and here we are talking about watches and payback. But what about, where there's smoke, there's fire. There has to be some truth, some kernels of truth to what's being discussed about Hunter Biden. And will any of that get traction? I don't know. That remains to be seen. It was kind of stunning that just before the debate, at the JW Marriott, this guy Bublinski came out and said I was Hunter Biden's business partner, and he went into his whole shtick. So that was wild. Just the Tony Bublinski, just to hear, dropped a bomb about a half hour before the debate. But anyhow, Trump looked strong. Biden didn't look weak, but he thought he got lost a couple of times. I think when she asked him a question about the minimum wage, he started talking about small businesses. He scored a couple of good punches on the president when he, and I think the president scored a couple of good punches on him. You know, he said, I ran because of you, Joe. And I think Joe kind of beat up this whole looking in the camera and appealing to the American people. And, you know, when you roll over and touch the pillow, that works once in a while. But then I think he did it like three times last night, that type of an approach. And I think that loses its theatric benefit, so to speak. But whatever, he still did it. They talked about a lot of issues: race, minimum wage, the virus, immigration, the Green Deal, Hunter. So
listen,
it was wild.
You know,
I guess,
Tom, let me say this. You know, and time will tell. By the way, if this Hunter Biden is, and how about this Tony Bublinski, who was actually that? Tom's right. He got the alert. I'm saying, look out! What an evening this is going to be. But you know, the way I kind of saw it last night is the president back against the wall and everything else, you know, to me, pulled himself together. You know, he really put together the debate that he needed. And for the most part, he was very focused, contained. You know, the interruptions were at a minimal. I think if you do the math, like a Howard Lederman does on boxing with HBO, you know, 25 interruptions for Biden, 24 for Trump, as compared to 71 and 49 from the September one. But, you know, I thought for the most part, he really controlled himself. And I thought he did a really good job. And I'll tell you, I look at these things as objectively as I possibly can. Okay, anybody who knows me knows what the show's about. I gotta be honest with you. I don't think Biden scored a lot of points last night. I really don't. Now, if you want to tell me on the COVID right off the bat, okay. Yeah, okay. So what would you do differently, Joe? You know, the point is, and I say this all along, you want to get Trump on the mask wearing and everything else, fine. You want to get him on the testing, absolutely. But quite frankly, you know, he did what he had to do. And Biden, you know, was pouncing on that. And that's where Biden is going to score points. But I really didn't give him a lot of points throughout the evening. I didn't.
No.
I honestly really didn't. I couldn't find a lot of area where I gave Joe Biden the nod because he goes back and forth. The fracking and everything else, I'll tell you, the Green New Deal, Tom, it's tough to take as far as changing stances and everything else.
Well, I agree with you. The moderator interrupted the president 41 times and only interrupted Biden 8. So, I mean, she clearly was more, I think she was nervous that the president was going to run away as you know and get very aggressive as he did in the first debate. But you're right. I think he was very composed, on target, focused, presidential, and I think as the American people needed to see him. Biden threw out a couple of zingers during the night. You know, he called them xenophobic, but he wasn't clear about why he was xenophobic. You know, it was back and forth on a few things. I think the president bored on Trump going after him on Biden's long term in office. You've been in there 47 years, Joe. You've done nothing. I think the stuff that he talked about having a general from the Pentagon who was in charge of logistics ready to distribute the vaccine or any of the therapeutic immediately, I thought was an interesting revelation. You know, I think Biden really stuck his foot in his mouth, and if anybody heard it, he said he would transition from fossil fuel to renewables quickly. I went, how are we going to do that? And then the president grabbed it. He said, I hope you're listening, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Oklahoma, to what he just said. So that, to me, was a big... It shows how much the AOC and the Green Revolution folks have hijacked the Democratic Party and their message. I think the president, again, much like we talked about in the first... Jay, when you and I recapped it, he could have crippled Biden on this Hunter Biden stuff with the big guy and the money and all that. And I mean, he hit him, but he didn't knock him to the ground. And we all know from many of the news clips we've seen, that's a real, real sore spot with the former vice president. So I think it was a drastic contrast. I think you're right. It showed the American people. I think the president was presidential. Did it change any mind? What do you think?
I think it did. I really do. And I'll tell you this much. You know, the fracking thing and everything else, he went right on Twitter afterwards. He put that video on there. He put exactly what Biden said. Scored points for me on that. The other thing in which he drew some blood here, and I thought it was the line of his entire demeanor throughout the night. He got into this political arena because of the job that wasn't being done by Joe Biden and Barack Obama, and that to me was a punch to the solar plexus. Okay,
I agree.
That to me, because you know, the you're all talk and no action deal, that was a great line, and it really kind of summed it up for me. Because if you're an undecided voter, okay, and you still don't know which way you're going to go, well, guess what? You think of a Joe Biden, you think of the 47 years as far as a career man in politics, and you look at the accomplishments and everything else, and then you look at a guy, fast forward now, he's running for the presidency of the United States of America, and he's saying all this stuff. There's not a lot to back it up. It wasn't a good evening for Joe Biden last night. I don't forget the gaps and everything else, because there were plenty. I don't care about that. What I did care about was the demeanor of Donald Trump. And listen, I cite him on the COVID stuff. Please don't tell me about the vaccine. saying we're turning the corner when we have 222,000 people dead and everything else. We have, you know, a zillion cases, 70,000 cases a day. You know, we're not turning the corner. We're not. We can't. We're not turning the corner. It's obvious. And we don't know about a vaccine yet. We don't know. We know a million trials are going on. We know about the remdesivir, to be fair, FDA approved, thank God. But the fact of the matter is that Joe Biden hasn't done a damn thing. Ask yourself, if he enters that Oval Office on January the 20th, does he get it done? You have to ask yourself honestly. And then there's the Kamala Harris factor as well, which is a big factor, Tom Keel.
How about the line when they asked, why should minority and black families vote for you? Trump said, look, you had 8 years to do something with Obama. And he said, well, we couldn't get it done because there was a Republican Congress. Are you kidding me? You say that we couldn't get stuff done because there's a Republican Congress. People don't want to hear that. Trump, reposted with him. He said, well, I don't have, you know, he said, I have a Democratic Congress. You know, he said, I'm getting stuff done. So I think Trump was very presidential. Biden got lost in his process and a few things. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't stay on track. I mean, he didn't have a bad night, but I think Trump had a better night. And I guess it remains to be seen. You know, supposedly there's 40 to 45 million people that have already voted in early voting and absentee and mail-in balloting. So a staggering amount of Americans have already gone to the polls. And early voting starts here in Suffolk County tomorrow on the 24th. So it was an interesting debate. I think it was a debate. We actually saw a debate. We actually saw two men up there with contrasting styles. And I think Trump beat him up on the crime bill too. With the marauding gangs and, Biden's trying to backpedal and all of that. But I think for the most part, I think the president had a better night than Joe Biden did. You built the cages, Joe. We didn't build the cages. Biden kept trying to say, hey, 500 plus kids can't find their parents. He kept going back to that. Okay, that's a tender topic, especially with, suburban women. But, the coyotes left the kids there. You know, it wasn't our fault that the kids were left there. I mean, and that's, the president said that, but the moderator kind of transitioned right away from it. So I agree with you, Jeff. I think the president.
And Tom, let me just say this about the moderator, Kristen Welker, who I thought did a pretty good job in controlling the debate. Now, let me emphasize controlling, because you're right. She interrupted way too many times as far as when Trump was talking. You're right, 100%. Mm-hmm. The thing I stated yesterday was I didn't like the topics. You mean to tell me we don't have a foreign policy topic? You mean to tell me that we're not going to be talking about the economy or healthcare in full? That was a massive dropping of the ball, and it indicated a lot of bias to me. Redeemed herself last night as far as the overall controlling of the debate. Certainly, I happened to turn on Chris Wallace in the post game from Fox, and he said he was jealous. You know, he was jealous because Welker controlled the debate. You actually had a debate. Whereas when Chris Wallace was moderating in Cleveland, you didn't have that. You know, you had that quote-unquote hot mess. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
In essence, she did okay, but I did not like the topics as far as how they were handed out. And that, to me, was points off from the get-go. But with that being said, Trump handled himself well, really well.
Yeah.
Focused, and he was told to do so because he knows and his people know he was completely out of control on September 29th.
Well, Christian Welker went after, she almost went off script a couple of times and went after him personally about his taxes. Well, why were you going to make your taxes? Come on, she went after him about his taxes instead of letting the debate opponents go after the president about his taxes. And she threw in a line about, Biden's laughing, and she throws a line in, well, we know that the CDC about young people can catch and you can pass it on. Well, she threw in a little zinger there, which I thought was out of place. But one line that I think, another line where Biden kind of hung himself a bit, they were talking about national security. It was an open door to talk about foreign policy a bit. And I think that was her little crack in the door. So you guys can talk about foreign policy. She said, he said, Biden says, well, the nations, if people overseas know them and they know me, they know what they're going to get with me. Are you kidding me? Then Trump went right back and says, yeah, and your son took $3.5 million from the former mayor of Moscow's wife. So, kept saying is, no, I didn't take any money from China. Well, of course you didn't, but your son did. He was a conduit. But, whether the American people will hold him accountable for that or not, I mean, my concern is if Biden wins, that is like real estate listing. There's going to be a for sale sign on America. Can
well,
you
listen.
Imagine all the corrupt operators in the Middle East and in the South American drug countries? They're now going to hear this guy can be bought. We can get to him through his brother or his son. His family members, you know, they're the associates in the crime family. They, you know, so it's not a good. That to me is probably the biggest takeaway from this whole election cycle, that this stuff is coming out, and that should Biden win, we're going to have a family that's known for taking. Look, you just spent a half hour with Perini talking about Mangano. This makes Mangano look like kindergarten. We're talking about
and,
America
you know,
being so.
And let me say this, Tom. Let me say this. If Trump loses, it's COVID-related without question. If Trump wins, to me, if you accentuate in the next 11 days the Hunter Biden corruption story, you know, to me, this is the game changer. You know, forget the vaccine and everything else. Not talking vaccine here, folks. But what I am talking about is this corruption story. That, to me, changes the race's trajectory. If that connection to Joe Biden directly can be proved rather than asserted based on a few suggestive emails, okay? That, to me, is the key. And and that could change. That's a game changer. It's a game changer on the progression in the next 10 days. That's
I hope you're right.
You got 50 million in the books right now as far as votes, okay? You got a third of the nation going here, okay? Game changer. We'll see how it progresses. Hunter Biden. Give me a final thought.
The Mike Huckabee, you know, a former governor of Arkansas, and he's on a lot of different networks as a commentator, and I think he's a pretty respected thinker, political thinker. He came out a couple days ago and he said, whatever you think about these Hunter Biden and Joe Biden revelations, it may be too much for the American people to digest. And kind of sat me up thinking about it. So much coming out in such a short amount of time on top of COVID and the economy and all the other things the American people have been dealing with the past 7 months. I don't know whether it's going to move the needle, Jay. I really don't. It sure is moving the needle for me. I mean, I'm stunned by it. Every day there's a new revelation. But look, we still live in a great country. I still am very optimistic about America. You know, God bless America. It's a great place to live, but I still think it's the greatest country in the world. The freedom, the free thought that you and I have to be able to have a conversation like this at 8 o'clock in the morning. In China, you couldn't have it. In Russia, you couldn't have it. China, they'd bust the door down and arrest you and me in two different locations. So people don't realize, especially the younger people that have never lived through some of what we've seen around the world, what they're advocating for in the socialism and communism is just bonkers. You know, the things that they're advocating for, the very freedom and the marching in the streets, et cetera, that they're doing, they're not going to be able to do if we become a socialist nation. So I pray for the country, just like I preface my remarks as I'm praying for my friend William Spencer, Dr. William Spencer. And Jay, again, thank you for the opportunity to do this. This is always the high point of my week when I know I'm going to come on with you, especially to discuss this sort of stuff. And
well, listen, we'll have you on again next week and leading up to the election.
And
we can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Good luck in that position, by the way, with Kingsbridge. Let me just say this, my final thought. You made a great point, by the way. You know, you go back to 2016, folks, okay? And I remember like it was an hour ago, where you had the Comey announcement and the announcement coming down on Hillary as she was on a plane towards Pittsburgh. Remember that whole deal? And
yeah.
And we're 10 days out now from that. We're 10 days out from back then when that Comey announcement was made. And the thing that made it different, and you made such a great point just now, is that the American people and this country were fully engulfed in those quote-unquote Hillary email, okay? So we got a good taste of what was going on here for a long time. And then, you know, you had the shoe that dropped in that Comey announcement 10 days, 11 days out. Whereas this story is, you're right, with all that's going on with COVID and the economy and everything else, and now you have the Hunter Biden stuff, and it's really being thrown at you here. 11 days, 12 days out, I get it, but it's a lot to take. And that's a very interesting dynamic to this thing of how we get to the finish line on November the 3rd. Will this be enough of an impact for Donald Trump to carry with him to a victory? It's a game changer. The trajectory changes, if that's true.
Look, those old enough to remember Watergate and Richard Nixon, and I mean, I've got all the books. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat when all this was happening, and I'm sure many of your listeners were, that, again, is amateur hour compared to what Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden's son, his brother, what they're being accused. Now, whether it's all true or not remains to be seen, but, you know, look at what happened to America and to Nixon's presidency because of Watergate. I think there's talk coming out of the United States Senate or out of the Justice Department of appointing a special prosecutor now to investigate this stuff. So win, lose, or draw, what happens to Biden if there's a special prosecutor and they're starting to really investigate this stuff? What happens if out of the Durham investigations more stuff comes out? If Biden wins, can the son and the brother of a sitting president be indicted and convicted of crimes like this? There's a lot of implications.
Come on here.
But we've never even seen this, so this is stunning. The stuff we're talking about is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So it's like makes Benedict Arnold look like fiction, you know. So let's
see what happens.
Yes, thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Anytime, and congratulations. CEO, Kingsbridge Strategies, government relations, public affairs firm. Good luck with everything. We'll have you on next week. Thank you, Thomas. Stay well now over the weekend, all right? You got it. The great Tom Keogh.